That school bell tells us it's time for lesson 80 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. Well, get your Bibles and get them and turn to the portion of the Bible, the book of Daniel, chapter 6. And that's where we find the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And in just a few minutes, we'll begin looking at Elam's notes concerning that chapter. We read the entirety of that chapter at the last class session, so we will not be rereading it in this class session, but we will be looking at the notes. So while you're turning your Bible to Daniel chapter 6, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. The saints have been meeting in this location for over 100 years, and just like those of 100 years ago, it is our resolve to be nothing but the church you read about in the New Testament. We have no authority higher than the local church except for Jesus Christ Himself. And we have no human creed that we subscribe to or follow. We just simply use the Bible and establish all things religious by the authority of what is written in that Word. And in so honoring God's Word, we honor God. And that is our intent. If you want to see how this works, it is a very simple worship, simple but sincere, where we gather together and we sing and we pray and we take the Lord's Supper like the New Testament church did on the first day of every week. And we'll take up a contribution, but that's a voluntary offering and it's not for our visitors to contribute, though if they desire to, they can. But this is really for those who are members of this particular family to finance the work and to use for charitable endeavors and to advance the preaching of the gospel of Christ from this location. And so you don't feel like you have to come give. We're not after your money, but we are after you and your soul and your friendship. And we would like to teach you the gospel and baptize you into Jesus Christ. And also while we're gathered together, we have a period of Bible study. And in our formal worship, this is a time of preaching. And the preaching comes from the text of the Word, much like it is in this radio Bible school. And then we have some Bible classes also. And in those Bible classes, again, we're studying from God's Word. And in this radio Bible school, we're looking at Sunday school lessons that E.A. Elam wrote back in 1922. This particular lesson he wrote for July 23rd, 1922. And it is the way that he carried his students through the study of the story of Daniel and the lions. Now let me read to you the introduction that Elam wrote for his Sunday school lesson. He says, the lesson, Daniel in the Lion's Den, the events of this occurred not long after Darius became king. A satrapy was a province, and a satrap was the governor of it. Darius divided his kingdom into 120 satrapies, set a governor over each one of them, and set over the governors 3 presidents. Daniel was one of these presidents and chief of the 3. Number 1, the work of envy. Daniel was distinguished above the presidents and the satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm, Daniel 6 verses 1 through 3. This excited the jealousy of the other presidents and all the satraps, and they conspired against Daniel to destroy him. To them, he was a foreigner, a Jew, whose race was in captivity, and they could not bear the thought of having him over them. Envy is a child of Satan and leads to diabolical deeds. For where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion and vile deed. Note the great difference between earthly wisdom with its jealousy and faction and the wisdom that is from above. And Elam suggests we read at this point from the book of James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good life his works in meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter jealousy and faction in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom is not a wisdom that cometh down from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion in every vile deed. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without variance, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for them that make peace." In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 18, we read that it was through envy that Jesus was crucified. And then we learn later that it was through envy that Paul and others were persecuted. In Daniel's day, these presidents and satraps sought first an occasion of complaint against Daniel in his administration of public affairs, but failed because he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. It is most wicked to hunt for mistakes and faults in others for the sake of accusing and injuring them. The wicked scheme served only to place Daniel's virtues in a clearer and stronger light. They sought next an occasion against him concerning the law of his God. Unwittingly, they paid him here the greatest compliment possible. By this continual service of God, he had impressed them with his faithfulness and loyalty to God, and they knew nothing could cause him to swerve. The greatest thing that can be done now is to serve God patiently and faithfully. See that in Romans 2 and verse 7. Daniel's enemies then held a convention, passed unanimously a resolution, and presented it to the king for adoption. It was as follows: that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Then they besought him to sign it, saying, "Now, O king, establish the interdict, and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." This flattered the king, and appealed to his vanity, and caught him unawares. Besides, the king was supposed to be an image of the supreme God, and an object of worship. This king thought too much of himself, and so often the rulers of men think too much of themselves. The heathen at Lystra thought gods had come down to them in the form of Paul and Barnabas. Let me read that to you in Acts chapter 14, and beginning in verse 11, and note the reaction that Paul and Barnabas had to this. Acts 14:11, "When the multitude saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voice, saying in the speech of the Laconia, 'The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men.' And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercury, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Jupiter, whose temple was before the city, brought oxen and garlands into the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they rent their garments and sprang forth among the multitude, crying out and saying, 'Sirs, why do you these things? We are men of like passions with you, and bring you good tidings that you should turn from these vain things unto a living God, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all them that in there is, who in the generations gone by suffered all the nations to walk in their own ways. And yet he lifted not himself without witness, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave you from heaven rains and fruitful seasons, filling your hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings scarce restrained they the multitudes from doing sacrifice unto them. That's the humble apostles of the Lord that were preaching Christ as the king and not themselves as God. But then there's this story of King Herod. And look what happened when they thought he was a god. We read this in Acts chapter 12 and in verse 20. It says, "Now he that was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon," this is talking about King Herod, "and they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, they asked for peace, because their country was fed from the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod arrayed himself in royal apparel, and sat on the throne, and made an oration unto them. And the people shouted, saying, 'The voice of a god and not of a man.' And immediately an angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost." You know, every now and then I see some people. Sometimes they're government people, but sometimes they're preachers. They think so much of themselves. They stand up dressed in their fine raiment and they exalt themselves and people praise them. And they just soak up the praise and they get the idea that all things are about them. And they feel so great and wonderful and mighty and beautiful. And when I see such as that, I think to myself, someone needs to check them for worms. The glory always goes to God and not to men. But these rulers said that no petition should be made to any god or any man save the king. And King Darius signed the interdict, not suspecting its wicked plot against Daniel. Now Daniel prayed in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. When Daniel knew the writing was signed, without hesitation, he went forward in the service of God. His windows were open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. This was his custom. He did not open them simply on this occasion. In the place where God put his name, he promised to meet with his people. We read that in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 24, and in Deuteronomy 2 and verse 5. God chose to put his name in Jerusalem, 2 Chronicles 6 and verse 6. And the temple was called by his name, 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 43, 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 10. God promised to hear the prayers offered toward that place. Should a foreigner hear of God's mighty works, and for his name's sake should come from a far country to pray toward the temple, God would answer. Should God's people be taken as captives by their enemies into a far country, and there repent and pray toward the temple, God would hear and forgive them. God's people went to the temple to pray, and this continued into the times of Christ in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 18 and verse 10, and Luke chapter 3 and verse 1. In thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple, David said. In Psalm chapter 5 and verse 7, for this reason Daniel's windows were always open toward Jerusalem when he prayed. He did not open them to be seen of men, or to flaunt his disregard of this interdict in the face of his enemies, neither did he close them to conceal himself after the passage of this interdict. Two other things worthy of note are, one, he kneeled upon his knees, and two, he did it three times a day. Kneeling showed a spirit of humility and devotion. One may pray without kneeling, but kneeling is still a good way to pray, especially in our private prayers. Jesus on the cross prayed, Paul and Silas in the jail prayed, but when one assumes an attitude of prayer, kneeling is certainly a proper one. In Gethsemane, Jesus kneeled in Luke 22:41 and fell on his face, Matthew 26:39, on the ground, Mark 14:35. We're going to stop there. and continue this lesson at the next class. You've listened so well. You may now be dismissed.